Good evening. How are you all doing? Just going to pray. Father, you know our hearts tonight. You know what we need. I pray, Lord, that you would intercede on our behalf through Christ, the great intercessor. That, Lord, he would stand in the gap for every person's need in this place tonight, Lord, for if someone needs encouragement, if someone is depressed, if someone is down, if someone's been going through the worst struggles, I pray the great intercessor of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost would take precedence in their life, would stand in between the gap between them and their situation. And I pray, Lord, you lift up heads to yourself. You lift up hearts to yourself. You lift our hearts to you, Jesus, tonight so that we could find you. We could know you. We could experience you. There'd be a river that flows in this place from the Holy Ghost that goes right into our hearts and lifts us into the glory of God, lifts us into the presence of God, because he wants to manifest himself on earth as it is in heaven. He wants to come down into the earth even as he is. Is getting his will done in heavenly places. And I thank you tonight, Jesus, that when you were raised up to the right hand of the Father, you sat in the glory with the angels. You sat down because you had accomplished the mission. Because, Jesus, when you died and when you gave everything you had, the last ounce of your blood, the last sweat from your brow, you said, "It is finished at Calvary. It's finished." And you did a work, God, that we could never do ourselves. And you lifted us beyond anything we could ever know in ourselves, Lord. And I pray for you, God, to get your will done tonight and a great deliverance in every heart. In Jesus' name. There's a lowly place where you must stay low, but keep your eyes always on Jesus, where grace flows and therefore makes you an overcomer. Not just a place of being low, but a place of keeping your eyes on him there. In a constant looking, bowing, worshiping, and waiting on him. The Lord just gave me that tonight as we were sitting there, which pretty much sums up my sermon tonight. So if you didn't understand that, it's okay, you got time. Just another 4 hours, and then I'll be done. Well, I want to talk about a topic that's not really advertised too much in the paper, which they don't have anymore. On the internet, the TV, or whatever. It is this thing called humility. You can't go get it at the drugstore. You can't buy it at McDonald's. But it is a topic that is necessary to our lives. But it's something which the world just steps right over. Now, if you think about this, no employer is going to have an employee, a new person working in a job. And if the employer thinks they know everything, and they don't exactly know everything, that's not going to be the easiest employee to have. What would be the best kind of employee, Jeff? Jeff needs helpers sometimes, or a lot of times. So if you need a job, he's at the back. But yeah, people have to listen, and people have to show up in time for work. Stuff like that, you know. All that is a sign of something we call humility. It's the ability to listen. It's to have a teachable spirit where we basically don't come to work and think we know everything, or come to life and think we can assume we got it all under control. Well, the Son of God, when he came down to this earth, he was in a place and a position with the Father which was unimaginable to us. When we read the word, we get a glimpse of his glory. He said, because in John 17, when he prayed his prayer, he goes, "Father, show them the glory and let them have the glory I had with you before the world was even created, that I had with you in the beginning, that we may be one." And it's really interesting that this whole topic of unity is really important when it comes with humility. And we're going to read a tremendous passage from the Bible, which is known as the Christ hymn by some scholars. And it's in Paul's writing of Philippians chapter 2. But Paul might have written this himself, or this could have been almost a hymn. some piece of poetry that was in the early church that described the mission, the personhood of somebody named Jesus. But let's start from the beginning of this chapter. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. By the way, someone got baptized this morning in our church. We have affection and mercy because we are rejoicing with them. And we all get to share in that joy. And you know, tonight when we sing the Psalms, we have fellowship in the Spirit. And as you're worshiping the Lord and sitting in His presence, all this stuff here, the comfort and the love and the consolation that's in Christ, it's yours. So, Pastor, I guess there's a reason we worship God for the first 40 minutes. Fulfill ye my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's hard in this world to do that. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That's really hard. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let's keep going. That's just the warm-up. Let each of you don't look not only out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And this is beautiful. Who being in the form of God, the morphe in the Greek, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. Welcome, church family. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Wow. Even the death of the cross. Wow. Not just death and any kind of death, that slow, torturous death of a cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, this person, and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We're going to stop there. There's a lot in that scripture. But what I want us to get out of it is this, first of all. That humility is a heavenly thing. It's not just a thing that comes from the earth up to God. It's a thing that comes down from God to us. And you know, it only makes sense because in the Garden of Eden, the serpent came to Adam and Eve and tempted them with this thing called pride. You shall be as God. Just take the fruit, eat what you want. Well, Jesus came from heaven, and he laid aside the glory that he had so that he could serve us. He laid aside all of his power so that he could be with us. He laid aside his godhood, so to speak, even though he was still God, so that he could be fully a man with us. And he did all that because, first of all, this is who God is. We don't need another God. Any other God that we fashion according to any other image is an idol. It's not the true God. Because the true God poured himself out at Calvary. The true God said, I will go. The Son said to the Father, send me and I will go. He was a servant. He first served God and then he served us. But it was his humility, his overbearing, heavenly, from heaven down to earth humility, his willingness to come and to put us before himself. But I also want you to know this, that Jesus was able to do what he did because he had an identity in heaven. And really, folks, when you and I are called to walk in humility, because that's what this message is about, we can do it because we have an identity with God. You can't do it otherwise. And by the way, Jesus didn't do it otherwise. Jesus didn't try to become humble or look at how I can serve you and as if he was a nobody. He did it because he was a somebody. That might sound strange. But God's kingdom's the opposite of ours. His understanding is higher, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And here's the reality. If you want revival and the moving of the Holy Ghost and signs and wonders and miracles, you need humility. Humility will keep you grounded. Humility will keep us on track so when the Holy Ghost touches down, he just doesn't bounce back off again and wait for another 5 years. But he can be absorbed into the environment because the environment has got a humble, beautiful aroma to it. And the Holy Ghost goes, ah, I can stay here. I can abide here. I can reside here. And that's what we need. Last time I preached about the Spirit and the great things that we can have in the Spirit, but tonight it's the opposite. I'm preaching about humility. But I want us to know this, that we partake with Christ in his humility. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And if you want to know where that is, take one of these on the way out. And I didn't know this. I picked this up tonight, and I never look at these. And it says here, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. Our focus this month is meekness. Meekness is not weakness, but rather strength under control. A meek person is calm, humble, not easily provoked. I got some work to do. How are you guys doing? The meek shall inherit the earth. Yeah, this was in here. I didn't know it was in there. That's interesting. And I was going to put this scripture at the end of my sermon, and I chose another one, but there's that scripture if you want it. They're free at the back. No extra charge. Praise God. So if we really want to abide with Christ, we have to learn about his humility because Jesus is a humble Lord. And think about it this way. If you want to go hang out with your friend, you got to kind of have to do what your friend wants to do too. You can't just, hey, why don't you come with me, Jesus? Let's go to the hockey game. Let's go. Hey, Jesus, let's go over here now. Let's go. And then all of a sudden he turns around and goes, thanks a lot for that, guys. Now you come with me. And you're like, what? Where are you going? And he says, well, I'm going over here. And you're like, I can't fit down there, Lord. And he gets down and somehow he gets through there and you're like, I got to follow you through there. What's going on here, Jesus? Are you sure that, Jesus, is this the real Jesus? Did I get confused and, you know, isn't he exalted at the right hand of the Father somewhere? You know, when we walk with Jesus, he's going to take us on some humble paths, amen? But I want you to know, staying low at the feet of Jesus is an honor. It's a blessing. Matter of fact, if you really want to know, this last month and a half, I was going to share this later in my message, and I probably will again address it. To walk humbly with your God has been my portion. Wendy said, oh, Sunil's preaching on humility. That means he had to be humble, eat humble pie. Actually, the last 4 weeks or so, I willingly ate humble pie. Because I needed humble pie, and I knew I needed it, but it wasn't the kind of pie, you know, we serve a great Savior, you know. He doesn't want to take pie and shove it in your face like it's a birthday party, or, you know, like the team won the game and pour the water on them. And no, Jesus doesn't care about that.